Gone.
Very good, man. Good morning.
Good morning. I think we should just start off.
Let's go.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go. Let's do it. Mike is hot. This is you chose poorly. How are you, Mikey?
Very good this morning. How are you?
Peppy. Apparently I'm peppy. Turns out. I didn't realize this until 5 seconds ago.
Peppy, very nice. Nice
mm-hmm.
way to describe yourself.
Mm-hmm.
How was your? You were on assignment for a week, right?
I was on assignment for a week. Yep.
How'd that go?
I think Logan's still on assignment. good. It was good. It's sunny. Got a tan.
Oh, really? That's nice.
Yeah. Got a good podcaster tan.
Nice to see that. Caucasian people still get tans these days.
We do.
Yeah.
We do. We get cans. We get tans. I'm so glad none of this will ever air. but yeah, it was fine. Recharged the batteries. Got a week off. Hope everybody enjoyed the respite from our ranting. But we're back.
We're back. Speaking of batteries, no.
Oh no.
No. So you chose poorly. This is who we are.
This is who we are. So what happened to your phone?
Okay. Speaking of batteries. No. So
wait, first, before we get into your phone, do you still like your iPad Pro?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
good. Okay, let's talk about your phone.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so my phone, I told you, I'm not sure if I talked about it during the podcast or before the podcast. I talked about my 6 Plus
mm-hmm.
breaking and how it's officially part of my You Chose Poorly list. Poorly
yes.
list.
I think
yes,
we have so, talked about it, yeah.
Yes, okay. So, yeah, I wrote about it over on Hurry Up the Cakes, and my 6 Plus glass display, not the display itself, or not the touchscreen itself, but the glass laminated on the touchscreen broke for the third time in 6 months a few weeks ago. And
Third time.
Broke in December the first time, and then had it replaced, broke again. Had it replaced, broke again. And at that point, I decided that this is officially the wrong phone for me because I broke it for the third time in 6 months. And so I had spent like a week or so looking for a good deal, see if I can have it replaced. We don't have a Gazelle here, see? So it's not as convenient
mm-hmm.
in some ways because in Gazelle, you search for it, find a deal, and that's it. But here... Yeah, it's still very manual. You have to go to there are gray market shops, and you can just go to them and look for the best offer. And I had been looking on the internet for the best offer, and I wanted to have my 6 Plus replaced with a 6S, the smaller one of the this generation iPhone or half a generation ago iPhone. Mine was the 6 Plus, the two generations ago iPhone. And I couldn't find a good deal. And I told my mom about this whole thing. And I was telling her that if I couldn't find a good deal for the 6S, I might just find a good deal for the for an SE, an iPhone SE.
Mm-hmm.
And I had started to research since you've been gone. I spent a lot of time researching on and obsessing over articles or blog posts from people who have switched from a 6 Plus, the giant 5.5-inch phone, to a 5S or an SE, the smaller 4-inch phone, and to see how they could stand it. And the reaction was so mixed. Some people loved it, some people hated it, so it didn't really help me. And I was telling my mom about that problem, that quote-unquote problem I had.
Mm-hmm.
And then she said, why don't you get an SE, and then you can give me the SE, and then you can have my 6S. And I thought, hey, that makes sense. She doesn't care. Every time I see her, I keep asking her, do you use the 3D Touch yet? And she'd go, what's 3D Touch? You know, she has no idea about anything the new phones can do. So, sorry, Mom, if you're listening. That weekend, we went out and found a deal for... for an SE. I had it replaced. I just added a little more, but I got a brand new SE for my broken 6 Plus. and then exchanged it with my mom's 6S, and so now I have an iPhone 6S. And I have things to say about it. I'm okay. Sorry it took so long for me to get started, but yeah, I have things to say about it. You have the 6, right? Or the 6S?
I have a 6.
All right. I think your 6 and my 6S, or the 6 and the 6S, have the same battery life. Am I right?
They look about identical, and they have pretty much the same battery.
Yeah. Okay. And the battery on this thing sucks.
Yeah, it's about 24 minutes on average. Yeah.
Yeah. 23, I think, for me. I think mine has a lower milliamp hour rating or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just so bad. It's
one reason why I carry an iPod Touch with me to this day. Like my sort of carry, like what I carry with me, is my iPhone 6 and a 6th gen, like a current gen iPod Touch. Because the two of them together, I get through a day.
Yeah, it sounds like you're joking, but I'm pretty sure you're not.
I'm not. I'm not joking at all. That's what I do. Yeah. All of my media is on the iPod Touch. Music, podcasts, videos, anything that I want to consume on an iOS device is on the iPod Touch. And anything that is connected, like a messaging app, which we'll get to in a second, or email, that kind of thing, that's on the iPhone. That's how I do it.
Yeah, that makes sense. I would do that if I could, except I don't think I can stand having two things in two separate pockets with a wallet.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
sounds like you need a battery case then. That's Apple will sell you one of those.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking into. And I suppose for a future episode, I might have to make a few decisions here. But anyway, so the 6S is just really quick first impressions. It's really fast. I'm happy about the phone itself, but I am not happy about having battery anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
It's a thing I haven't experienced since I replaced my iPhone 5. And it's not a big deal. I mean, I'm generally happier about this phone, although it's white, and I'm not a white iPhone guy, but I like it, and it came with my mom insisted that I use her OtterBox leather case.
That's a nice case.
Yeah, it is a nice case. My 6 Plus had an OtterBox too, and it is a nice case. I'm happy about it, except I was excited about, this is going to sound silly, but we've been silly for a few weeks now. It's a new white phone with a gold aluminum body, and I wanted to show it off a little more, except now it's encased in this leather thing.
Right.
Because I have all of my stuff's black, so I got a kick out of having a gold thing because, you know, gold.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, gold is 2 years old now for Apple stuff, but still. Mm-hmm. And I have this paranoia now for Apple, for small handheld Apple products, that the OtterBox probably makes more sense because I don't want to break this thing's screen, even if breaking this thing's screen would be really dumb because it has 3D touch.
Yeah.
You're supposed to apply pressure on the screen. If that thing breaks after that, I don't know what to do. But so I don't think it's going to break. But yeah, that's another issue I have because I've been looking at battery cases. I was looking at the Apple one, the one with the hump. But I know it'll expose the glass, and I'm worried about it breaking again. So I don't have very solid impressions about this thing, except it's fast, and I hate that I have battery anxiety. That's not pleasant. It's not how phones are. You know, it's not the platonic ideal for phones, or any phone, for you to worry about the battery at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, or 2 o'clock, or 1 o'clock. So
that's very true. Very, I mean, yep. Everyone who has one of these says the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, but it's the first time since in 2 years that I felt this way. So this is a thing I will have. If I want to solve this problem, it's not a thing I want to live with.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to talk about it on a future episode, what I actually end up doing to rid myself of battery anxiety at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
The another thing I do, I actually have the iPhone 6 battery is like 1400 milliamps or something like that, mm-hmm. and what I carry with me sometimes if I know I'm going to be out for a while, like maybe overnight, and I don't always know that I'm going to be able to plug something in, I do have a fairly hefty battery case. I think it's like 10,000 milliamps or something like that.
Oh, but it's a case. It's a case.
It's not a case. It's a separate thing that you plug a lightning cable into.
Ah, yes. I have one too.
Yeah, and so I find like that's, you know, between the iPod Touch and that thing, I don't have the anxiety. But if I just had an iPhone 6 and nothing else, yeah, it would be something to worry about on a pretty regular basis.
Right. So, yeah, this is not a new thing. I bet a bunch of people can relate with this problem. So.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's the thing I'm dealing with right now.
So I have a quick question about your new iPhone.
Mm.
I'm assuming you've put apps on it, right?
Yes, same apps now.
Same apps and everything. Could you tell me, just maybe by memory, maybe by looking at your phone, what
here we go.
What chat apps do you have?
Okay, should I start with asking you what qualifies as a chat app?
I'd say a chat app is any app where not just the potential to have a chat, but something you actually chat on, whether it's one-on-one, whether it's in a group, whether it's with strangers, whether it's people you know, anything where you input text and it goes to another person directly.
You're just talking about the app, right? Not apps that use not several apps that use the same service.
Well, that could be interesting too. Just give me a list.
All right. Okay, let me look at it.
While you're looking, I'll give you my list, because I wrote them down, because I did my homework.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
You got your batteries recharged. So.
Yeah, my batteries recharged. I'm good. So I wrote them down. These are the apps that I've chatted with someone on in the last month or so. I've had a one-on-one chat with someone on these things. SMS, so text or iMessage on the iPhone. Facebook Messenger, WhatsApp, Google Hangouts, Slack, Skype, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, and Meetomo. That's 10. That's 10 chat apps.
Yeah.
I knew I had a lot, but until I wrote them down and saw that the number was in the double digits, I did not realize how much of an issue this is. And it is something that has annoyed me for years. So I want to hear yours.
Okay, I have Line, Viber, WhatsApp, Snapchat, Messenger, Tweetbot, which counts because of you, Instagram, which also counts because of some people, Messenger, did I say Messenger?
Yeah,
Messenger, iMessage, and apparently now Slack, if that counts.
Yep,
so
Slack counts.
Yeah, Slack. And if Tweetbot counts, Twitter probably counts too.
Yeah, all Twitter, Tweetbot, same thing. Yeah.
Okay. So, no, I don't use Tumblr for chat. I don't use anything else besides those. But that's still 7. 7 is a lot. I mean, I use Skype on my Mac. I'm Skyping with you now. I don't Skype on my phone. But
I got
Skype's
9
on
for
it.
You, dude. I count 9.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is 9. I'm sorry. My batteries are not recharged. So, but yeah, that's 9. Until you mentioned that this is a thing we were probably going to talk about this week.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize how ridiculous it was. This is a fairly new thing, having to deal with or having the mental agility to think that 9 or 10 chat apps for to talk to different people or sometimes the same people.
Sometimes the same people.
Yeah. is ridiculous. It doesn't make... I mean, if you explain this to someone 10 years ago, they're not going to think that we made any advancements in technology.
No, know? Because the problem existed 10 years ago, but with different chat apps. So I looked back and I realized that I used to use, like, the 10 chat apps that I'm using now are not the chat apps that I was using 10 years ago. But I was using more than one 10 years ago.
That's true.
So I, like, 10 years ago, I was on MSN, I think it, like in 2006, I think MSN was the main one I used. But I also had a Yahoo account. I had an AOL account because I did work for some websites at the time, and they used AOL for chatting, and so I met other people on AOL through that. And before that, I used ICQ. That would have been in the 90s, early 2000s, but I definitely spent a lot of hours on that. I don't think I had any others before that. I know LiveJournal had a chat, but I don't think I ever used that. that kind of thing. Like the, I don't think I ever used any of the sort of minor league ones. I feel like these are all big, major, heavy hitters. Like the 10 I listed, these are all major things. Maybe not Motomo, but that every other one is huge. And you mentioned too that I don't even use Line and Viber.
Yeah. It's Asia's different. If you listen to, I'm sure you've listened to episodes of the talk show with Ben Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, Ben. I'm not even talking about your actual podcast, but the ones, just the ones you guested in. But
is Ben Stratechery?
Yeah, Stratechery. Yeah, yeah. That's him. Asia is different in, when it comes to chat. I think we also deal with the thing where the Philippines is. Was, or I think still is, the texting capital of the world. Have you heard of this?
No, I've not.
Yeah, so in terms of traffic, SMS traffic in the world, our country's number one. And it was publicized a lot in the 90s, except I think they toned it down until when they realized that the telcos probably charge us more than they should.
Mm-hmm.
But with the advent of smartphones, I think that's the thing too. 10 years ago, there were chat apps, but they were very rarely on anyone's phones. They were just on. Is that true for you? That was true for me. I didn't have Yahoo on my phone or MSN or any of those on my phone that I was carrying in my pocket every day.
It wasn't until 2009, I want to say, that I had an internet chat app on my phone.
Yeah. And the same for me. And I think the thing that changed, which is what makes 9-10 apps on almost, I would say you have 10, I have 9, but maybe
close,
the average
man.
Smartphone. Yeah. The average smartphone probably has what, 5 or 6?
I'll send you a message on Tumblr and then you'll be up to 10.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to turn on notifications, otherwise I'm just going to ignore that forever.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah, battery life, right? Anyway, no, but I think the thing that changed is when the metaphor for messaging became chat,
mm-hmm.
right? Because in the past, there was SMS and people thought of texting and the messages app on your phone,
yeah,
not as a chat app.
No, no, because each one cost money, right?
Yeah, exactly. So there was an inbox, there was an outbox, there were sent messages, and they were all separate.
Yeah.
Even if the phones, the hardware could have put it all in a chat thread, but it, you know, because it didn't do that, people didn't think of messaging apps as the same thing as chat apps. I know I didn't.
No, I certainly did not.
Yeah. So I think I don't know what the first one was. You're the one who does homework in this podcast. But, you know,
I think it was probably the iPhone. I think the iPhone was probably the first one that made texts look like a chat bubble, like the back and forth, like I'm on the right, you're on the left, and it's this cascading thing.
Yeah.
I think before the iPhone, all texts were, it definitely looked like, it almost looked more like email. Like, it looked more like an individual mess, like how email looks, where it's not really the same.
Yeah, that's right. And I think that was the thing that broke everything for people's brains, mm-hmm. to just accept that, oh, well, this is messages. This is my messaging/chat app. And now there's, you know, because of internet, it's cheaper for me to use WhatsApp and Viber and Line and WeChat in China or Messenger and all those things. So, yeah.
What gets me about it is that, like 10 years ago, we had multiple chat ones. Like if you're on a PC or a Mac, you maybe have multiple accounts. You maybe have an MSN and a Yahoo and a GChat, that kind of thing. You maybe have those, but there were options for you. Like if you were the kind of person who signed up to multiple ones to talk to multiple groups of people, there were options for you to sort of amalgamate all that into one app. On the Mac,
right.
It was, yeah. I think, Adium. I think Adium was the big one on the Mac. And I don't even know if that's still around anymore. The link, like the website is there, but
it's still there. Yeah.
It also says that it supports MSN, which totally doesn't exist anymore. So they clearly haven't updated the site in a while. On the PC, I think the app was Trillium. I think Trillium, and I think Pigeon was another one. That worked pretty well in terms of, like, you sign into this one app and then you sign into all of your chat apps in there, and it sort of turns it into one thing. So you, at least you have the peace of mind that like all of your instant messaging is coming from one place.
Yeah.
You know, and this, I knew lots of people who did that because no one wanted to be the asshole who said, everyone needs to be over here on this one thing.
No one did, really?
I didn't know anybody who said, like, look, no. I knew some people who said, this is the only thing I use. Like, I'm just on MSN. I don't use the others. This is fine for me. But I didn't know anybody who said, no, you have to come over here. Right?
Ah.
Like, I didn't know anybody who put in the effort of getting all of their friends onto one thing.
Yeah.
You know, in order to make things simple. And well, I also didn't know any company that was trying to, like, win, you know? Like, it seemed like any company that made a chat app was just like, yeah, we have this thing, but whatever.
Yeah, like, you can still use whatever you want to use, yeah.
Like, there's no... As much as Google Hangouts seemed kind of like the default thing for a few years there, although that's really trailed off, I want to say. Like, the number of people I know who use Google Hangouts has really fallen off. It seems like... Like, there's no Gmail for chat. Like, there's no, like, obvious winner, where one is just clearly better than the others.
Are you talking about these days or back then?
Even back then, I felt like they were all kind of the same, which made it hard to get anybody onto one ship.
Yeah. Well, yeah. For over here, I say over here, but I'm going to say for me,
yeah.
It was the one that won was Yahoo. Yahoo Messenger. Everyone in my world here, except, well, yeah, everyone in my world here had Yahoo Messenger.
Yeah.
And even some of the people they met online, except, like, you know, had, or we didn't talk through Yahoo Messenger, but it was a very long list, and it was a daily thing that you would just log in, and you'd hear that sound, that Yahoo login sound, and everyone was on it. I was never much of a G Chat, G Talk, that's a thing, right? The Google
yep.
one?
Yep.
Yeah, and then eventually Hangouts. It never ingratiated itself in my life the way Yahoo did.
Do you think you'll be a Google Allo user?
We'll get there. We'll get to that.
Okay.
Yeah. But, yeah, it was... yeah, it's... I mentioned yesterday when my wife asked me what we were going to talk about today, I told her about messaging apps. And then the first thing she asked was, what's so you chose poorly about the messaging apps? You use them all.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's yeah. like, well, you use them all, but I don't think anybody wants to. I don't think that's what makes anyone happy is using like a handful of these things. I think we'd all like there to be one, right? I don't think anybody's like, no, I'm super happy that these things are siloed and difficult and that they take up half my home screen on my phone.
Yeah, well, I guess that's the thing that I assumed do until I talked to my wife about it. This is the thing that's surprising me. Apparently, real people, Sawyer, people yeah. who aren't you and me,
yeah,
don't really mind. Partly because I think they don't think about it and they don't have a podcast a week to just really think about what their tech life is like.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that's not offensive, is it? Anyway,
no. This is a common talking point on tech podcasts is there's us and then there's regular people. We acknowledge yeah. that we're insane.
Yes. Yeah. It's important to point out that what we're saying is that we're insane and not better.
No. In no yeah. way am I like, I've got 10 messaging apps. I'm better than everyone. No.
I've got 10 and I can tell that I have 10 and it's a problem.
This is a burden.
Yeah. Yeah, precisely. So normal people, apparently... well, however normal my wife counts as, but yeah, she says she actually likes it because she's a very food groupsy kind of person.
Okay.
She doesn't like mixing her social circles. So she likes that one circle is on Viber, another is on WhatsApp, and another group of friends are on Line, and then the rest of the world is on Messenger, and then there's me on iMessage.
You're right.
Yeah, and she was saying, and then we started talking about the merits of each app, and then her assumption was that we were going to talk about which app we like best, and then I had to explain to her, no, the problem isn't that there is one app and then the rest are sucky, but that there are many apps and many people use them all.
Yeah, can you tell me what's so great about Slack? I have no idea. It's just like It's just a chat app with people you probably don't know.
Yeah, that's actually exactly it. I think the integration with files and updating, you know, time-based things. If you're a professional, or if you're an enterprise team or something.
Yeah, it seems like it's built more for like a company who has a project they're working on, rather than like a wrestling group chat.
Yes, I agree.
But that's just me. I'm new to this. This is my newest one.
This is my only one.
So I want to say I'm part of two Slack chat rooms. One that brought my attention to, which is the Mike Hurley Wrestling Chat Slack chat room. What do we call these things? Are they just a Slack?
Yeah, it's a Slack.
It's a Slack. Okay. And the other one I'm in is an audio support group that I was invited to because of this podcast.
Okay. So what
and
is
it's
this?
Nice. It's a nice thing.
Is it a bunch of people who mourn it every day? Like, Spotify.
There is some of that. There is some of, like, nothing else is good enough. there's a lot of frustration. There's a lot of people. But there's also just a lot of, like, music recommendations going on. And, like, they're trying to have a sort of communal present that a community of music listeners and appreciators that doesn't exist on any of the other things. Those are the two Slack rooms I'm in.
I love it. I love that. I don't want to comment much on it. We've done that in a previous episode.
Yeah.
But I love that there's a group about a dead app, and that's where you guys get your music recommendations.
There's also a Reddit subgroup about RDO as well.
Just a bunch of people complaining about it also, or?
Well, not just like bemoaning, just like slightly mourning. It's a mourning room, you know?
Yes, necessary on the internet.
I think so.
I don't understand Slack, though.
Me not yet either. Jesus. I don't really get it either yet. I'm sure I'll grok to it at some point, but...
Yeah.
And I want to say, I don't use all 10 of these every day, and I'm not on all 10 of these all the time. That would be crazy. I have a life. I have a job. I have things I have to do. I have to be on podcasts. I'm not on any of these right now. Oh, that's not true. I'm on fucking Skype right now. I didn't even list Skype. I have 11. Jesus.
No, you did list Skype. You did list Skype.
Is Skype on there? I did. Okay, back down to 10. Okay, everything's okay. I only have 10.
I hear ice cubes in a glass. You're drinking, right? This is upsetting you?
Yes.
Slack. I think it's so funny that having a wrestling group on Slack just reeks of being a tech guy that doesn't really do wrestling things, starting to do wrestling things. It's cute, and I'm amused by it.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I don't know if it'll stick, but it's definitely cute. I feel like wrestling people should still be on like MySpace. Like they should find the worst chat app in the world. Like they should just be like a 1998 forum template that we're all forced to use because we're the worst people.
Yep.
That's what
There's
it should
a sense-
be.
There's a sense that there's a bunch of people who are early adopters and move on to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's almost immediately the sense of wanting to keep everyone else away, especially if you're a wrestling fan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like there's always the sense of the conversation on Twitter used to be so good, but then the smarks came.
Yeah.
And the typical internet wrestling fan.
They ruin everything. They ruin everything. Anyways, I don't know what to do. Every now and then I'm like, you know what? I should just delete my Instagram account or my Tumblr account. Like, I don't need these things, right? And I don't need Miitomo, but I kind of like it, you know? But the other ones I need, right? I guess I don't need Slack, but that's sort of like an it's in its infancy of curiosity. Like I just joined it just to see what's up. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't really use Hangouts that much, but you can't get rid of it if you have Gmail. It's there, right?
Yeah.
But like my heavy hitters are Facebook Messenger and WhatsApp. Those are the two where I spend most of my messaging time.
Let's talk about this. Why are those the ones you use? What's so special? What's so valuable about each of them?
I think the obvious answer is that's where my friends are. That's where most of my friends are that I talk to. So that's where I chat with them.
And these are not the same friends on the same apps.
I would say Messenger and WhatsApp actually have a lot of overlap. It just seems that the people who I chat with tend to prefer WhatsApp over Messenger.
Mm.
And it could be the speed of it. And what's hilarious is they're both owned by Facebook. They're right. Like that's one company, Messenger and WhatsApp. They're just two different apps. It just seems like maybe the speed of it, just because WhatsApp is sort of just lightning quick compared to Messenger, which is, it does have a little bit of a, like, it takes a little longer to load, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and it's still so webby.
And it's a little webby, and it's attached to Facebook, which is has its own hangups. Whereas WhatsApp is its own thing. It's a little simpler. I do see the value there.
Yeah.
And group chats on WhatsApp work a little bit nicer than they do on Messenger. Like that's where you get into the just huge grid of feature comparisons. I'll put in the show notes. There's a comparison of instant messaging clients on Wikipedia, and it's just a 10-mile long grid of does this do this? Yes, no. And it's like lots of red and green, and it'll make you go blind. And there are all of these things do different stuff slightly, and some things better than others. If you're on the iPhone, iMessage is probably the best thing, but it only works with other people who have iPhones, and it only works with other people who have iPhones who are on the internet right now.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, do you do things like stickers?
No.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about when I say stickers, right?
I 100% know what you're talking about. Inside Facebook Messenger, they have...
Oh, right. Yes.
They do have those, and I've played around with those. I guess that's just not for me so much.
Yeah.
I mean, I use them sometimes. There's like one or two sets I find really cute, you know, that kind of thing. But I don't use them as communication currency.
Yeah.
Like I think a lot of people do, right?
Yeah, I think that's the thing that it's still so mixed. It's such a varied set of experiences and literacy with messaging apps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's because especially with each platform gaining ground and not really taking over anyone else's ground. WhatsApp has its own thing. Line has its own thing. And when you get good at a certain app, that doesn't mean you're good at chat. I am using, you know, air quotes for good. You know, when you develop an app literacy, it doesn't translate to the other apps.
No, because can I just say the fact that I have 10 messaging apps, does that mean I'm bad at chat?
No, I think it means everyone else is bad at chat. It's a dumb question, but it's a good one, I think. Before we get
like,
to,
are hello? We bad at this?
I honestly think if we're gonna use that as a standard, I think maybe you are.
Mm.
Yeah, I think maybe you're bad. I mean, you probably don't do emoji often, either.
Sometimes, yeah, I totally throw in emojis in there. I use emojis as punctuation. Like I'll throw in a happy face instead of a period, that kind of thing.
Right.
But I will rarely use guy on horse or that kind of stuff. Like I'll very rarely swipe right on the iPhone emoji stuff to see what else is in there.
Would you ever use an emoji to say something?
No.
No.
I'm too old. I'm too old. But I never liked like short handwriting on crappy cell phones that only had 9 buttons either. I would always write full sentences even then.
Mm.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is you're an elitist like dick, right?
Yes, that's what I'm saying is that I'm a privileged white asshole who
Yes.
to defend the language against the peasantry. That's what I'm saying, obviously.
That's right. That's right.
It's the Queen's English. And this is maybe a thing about chat. I always fear that my tone isn't coming across as I want it to. So I try to use as many words as I can to be as obvious as possible.
And I think if I'm Google, that's where you're wrong. Because, you know, if you're wrong to think that more words is the solution to not being able to communicate clearly. Yeah, this is what shows that you're old. Not that you refuse to use any of the other things, but that the solution to you is to be more clear. I must use more words in my chat app. And I think some different apps have use emoji for that. I think iMessage relies on emoji to do the extra verbal communication, on a limited platform. And then others with stickers take it a step further. And I think the difference is, and this is probably why you don't use it, the people who use stickers don't use stickers as emoji, or don't use stickers as punctuation or to amplify a thing they've already said.
Right.
They use the stickers to say something or to respond to something. And I think there's a certain kind of person. I'm not sure if it's privilege that distinguishes them, but a certain kind of person that simply won't get that. You know, that are people who... I don't know, maybe it's an affinity for language itself, maybe it's snobbery, maybe it's laziness, or maybe it's just, you're okay.
Well, it could be, and it could just be unwillingness to learn a new language.
Well, yeah.
You know, it's like, well, I've got English, why do I need anything else?
Well, that's the same as snobbery, isn't it?
Of course it is. Of course it is. It's absolutely that. But I guess the difference is... No one has ever actually like sat me down and been like, no, you need to learn this. Like, this is important. You will go farther with your friends and your relationships if you get this down.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Like,
I will...
GIFs are different, though. Like, I'll do that with GIFs. And that's where, like, Tumblr chat...
But GIFs feel like a
Facebook
very
chat
internet-y thing.
What, GIFs?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
You know, it's not, it doesn't still, I don't think it's broken past, this is part of the internet. You
got
know?
It. Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's probably why that's, like, GIFs are prevalent on, like, Facebook Messenger and Tumblr, but not on the others, necessarily.
Yeah, that's right. Even with the advent of GIF keyboards and things like that that make it easier for anyone to access GIFs, I don't think it's going to translate. Those, even if it's in this day and age, really the same thing.
Totally. You know?
Yeah, but yeah, it's strange. It's a strange thing to realize when you decide it's going to be a podcast topic, that this is the new normal. And of course, there's that classic. You've seen that classic. I think that comic strip. I'm not sure if it's XKCD or Oatmeal or something, but the one where. There are 15 different platforms.
Yeah.
We must solve this by making a new one.
That's right. That's right.
And the next situation is that there are now 15 different platforms.
Yes, that's definitely an XKCD. I will put that in the show notes.
Yeah. Important. Very important. And the weird thing about this whole thing is that I don't see... There is no end in sight for this. I don't see how one app is going to take over the other unless one app actually dies and goes bankrupt. So I think because you have all 10, we can look forward to all 10 apps dying over the next 5 years.
It's possible. It's right? possible. I think you're right. I don't like the and that's maybe my hope isn't actually the hope of it. Like, your wife was saying, like, she likes the fact that there are these different siloed areas for different types of people. I guess maybe I haven't found that. Or I guess in some ways I have, because the different chat apps for me sort of depend on whether I know the person in real life or not. Like, I tend to not chat on Twitter with people I actually know in real life so much. Where, like, that's more of a WhatsApp thing. Like, the people I chat with on WhatsApp, I know those people personally.
Yeah. You mean real life, meaning you've seen them face to face physically?
Seen them face to face, yeah. In meat space.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's different things for different people, different standards. I mean, there are those invisible rules that everybody has where each app is for a certain thing.
Mm-hmm.
What is the one with the widest reach for you? The one where you feel like most everyone is, even if it's not the one you chat with everyone on?
I feel like most people I know have a Twitter account.
Twitter, okay.
Whether they use it or not, they have it, and they check it sometimes. I guess next would be Facebook, but like, I'm certainly not friends with nearly as many people on Facebook as I am on Twitter.
Is that a fire alarm? Is everything okay?
That might be a fire alarm. We should maybe wrap up.
Google, Allo.
Yeah.
And Duo.
Okay, let's quickly do Allo. So will that be the 11th, you think?
Yeah. Yep, that's the one.
We need a new standard. Okay. Allo.
Google Allo.
Yeah, we have 11.
Yeah, the problem with these chat apps is there's not Google watching all of the chats. That's the problem. Make an app.
Yeah.
Where we're watching you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I wanted to say there is an Android app that's kind of sort of doing this. It's called Snowball. And you sign into all of your chat apps into this thing. And it, through the notification center in Android, it seems to put them all in one place that you can treat it all like one messaging app. So Android, it seems to actually kind of have it figured out.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's a surprise that, I mean, I don't think Apple would have a problem with somebody making an app that does that for iOS. It's surprising that nobody has.
What I think it is that, like, I don't think WhatsApp has any interest in working with anyone who will do that. I don't think Facebook Messenger really wants that to happen. I think all of these places want you to be in their thing. And that's how eventually they'll make money from these things, by putting bots in there and services. They want you to be inside their chat app. They don't want there to be like an overarching chat app. Like that was one of the features of Windows Phone that really failed out the gate, was that there was going to be this one messaging app. And behind the messaging app, inside settings, you would sign into various services. But there would just be one cascading thing of contacts and messages inside one view, but it really didn't work. But that was the hope. And I think it's because, yeah, these companies have no interest in really doing that. And most people are fine with this. Most people are fine with half of their apps being little chat bubbles.
Yeah,
it seems to be.
It's likely that Messenger, I don't know, you think WhatsApp is going to integrate into Messenger one day, or are they going to leave it alone completely?
I have no idea. I don't know why they wouldn't, but it seems like they have no interest in doing that.
Yeah. So, Allo.
Yeah.
You know, there. Aside from pointing out that it's creepy, I think, I don't know. What do you think if we just talk about the weird keynote presentation they had about it, or should we save that for a day when we talk about keynote presentations?
Yeah, well, we can definitely do an episode one day about how we've wasted our life watching keynote presentations. That's real. That's a real
having developed just an understanding of what keynotes should be.
Sure. Yeah. They should be that one Q&A from 1997 with Steve Jobs. And anything that isn't that is a failure.
Even the one Steve Jobs did. Or
all
some
of them failures, except for that one.
Google I.O. was weird, man.
A weird show, right? Like, what is that universe?
Yeah.
I don't even think, like, Android people think that's neat. I think they're probably weirded out, too.
Yeah. I had to stop and think a minute. Is this my Apple bias showing? You know, but I just looking at it, you know, it's so strange that the things that they want to market, or that they want people to applaud, the things they're pushing, are not normal human things. You know,
they're not even normal robot things. It's really strange behavior.
Yeah, It seems like at the end of the day, they wanted you to be inspired that machines are going to get better and know more about you. Mm-hmm. that's the thing they're happy about and they want you to clap for.
You're going to talk to your family way less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to use less words now because the machine can talk for you. And it will talk very much like you. So much like you that you don't have to say anything.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's Duo, but then I suppose that's for video calling apps or the video calling experience.
Well, that's for when you are a naked stranger and you want to be on someone else's home screen for a few seconds. That seems to be what that is.
That's exactly it.
So that's great for that group.
I think Syracuse talked about this on ATP. It's not that these advancements aren't impressive, but it's that no one, absolutely no one in the presentation said one sentence that could have alleviated everyone's fears about people's junk showing on people's screens.
Right.
You know, it was just, nope, that's not a thing that can go wrong. Look at these kids and they're happy, you know. What came off more was just the tone deafness of Google about this.
Yeah.
Given how much nicer they are now compared to the Eric Schmidt days, but you know how much cooler and more likable they are, there's still that sense of I don't think they understand human beings. I was showing this to my wife, or I was watching this, and my wife was, you know, trying to ignore me, and then she goes, "Do these people not have friends?" And it really seems like they don't. So, as far as we're concerned, it seems like you and I have friends, so let's see what Allo is like when it comes out.
I guess. I mean, I'm thinking it'll just replace Hangouts, right? It'll just, like, Hangouts will go away and there'll just be this thing. I figure that's what will happen.
Yeah, well, maybe not immediately. You know how Google is. They'll let you think that you're still going to be able to use a service and then just kill it one day.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, that's why MSN doesn't exist, is because Microsoft bought Skype, and so they just didn't need MSN anymore.
Yeah.
Anyways, we should wrap up here. Sorry about the fire alarm in the background. I'm obviously not treating this like a real emergency.
Wait, so that really is a fire alarm?
Yes, it's absolutely a fire alarm.
Dude! I kept talking for 10 minutes. You should go.
I should probably go. It's okay. It's fine. I'm sure it'll be fine. We'll see you all next week.
All right, see ya.